Friday on YouTube.
Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, February 4th, 2018. Cassie Carroll is presenting the sermon today entitled Advocacy. Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 16, verses 4b through 15.
So we are working out of John today, and our passage starts here. Well, let's read it from, I'm wondering if we have the same version. So let's read it from the screen. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I have told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into the truth, into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. I'm very excited. I'm a huge fan of the Holy Spirit. And some of you might not be, and we can still be friends. But what I love about this passage is that this is nestled into kind of Jesus's monologue to the disciples. John 13 through 17, it's like all red. If you have the NIV Bible, which means that it's all Jesus talking. And the disciples throw in some questions here or there, and where it says, like, none of you have asked me where I was going. I was like, actually, Jesus, if you go back a couple, like a couple chapters, someone does ask you, but it's fine if you forgot, I guess. I'm like, you are the savior of the world. Let's work this out. But it's fascinating because it's this huge monologue of Jesus talking about what I think is job description. He's talking about our job description, he's talking about his job description, he's talking about the Holy Spirit's job description, and he's really trying to lay it out. This is the final act of his life. Right after this, he gets arrested, and the passion starts. And by passion, this is the process to him back on the cross. So it's this long monologue, which he does that a lot, if you haven't noticed, of Jesus really trying to lay out for people what you need to know as he leaves. And it's interesting because I definitely wrote down, because have you ever seen The Incredibles? Has anyone ever? Yes! Oh, she got really excited. Awesome. So I wrote down evil monologue because the villain always like gives an evil monologue and then gives the hero enough time to get away. And I can kind of just see the disciples going, am I tied here? Like, should I be paying attention? I would get bored at this point. Like, it's a really long, okay, maybe that's too far. Fair enough. So a little bit more, before we dive in a little bit more to the text, a little bit more about me. So I'm actually come full circle. I was, my grandparents were the executive directors at Westminster Woods for 25 years, something like that. And I lived on grounds there. And so I grew up in the forest. And I've actually come full circle, and I'm working full time at Westminster Woods now, which is very silly to me. I'm like, how did I end up here? But now I'm actually living in Canton. And so for some of you who have been to Westminster Woods, if you drive on Bohemian Highway, which is very much windy, there's this little spot before Westminster Woods called Camp Meeker. And you're definitely cabin living in Camp Meeker. And so I have had to relearn my forest skills of living in the forest. And it's great that you had Continuing Fire. You picked that song because I'm talking about fire right now. I have had to relearn how to build a fire. I actually burned my hand in the wood burning stove. It was not fun in that moment. But I'm sitting there, and this cabin has a snow insulation. You're in the redwood forest, so it's chill. So I now have this new rhythm when I get home. Normally, you know, you get home, pull your stuff on the pulled out whatever you need. For me, I go upstairs immediately and turn on the heater. And I keep my jacket on. I got a very big, cozy jacket. And I'm just like cuddling throughout the entire cabin. Run upstairs, turn the heater on. And then I spend about 30 minutes tending to the fire. And if you've ever built a fire before, you know you have to get used to the wood. You have to get used to, do you have enough kindling? Do you have the right, the matches would be helpful. There's all of these things that you have to get used to as you're sitting there. And so I'm sitting in front of this wood-burning stove, and we're just hanging out, me and the stove and me and this fire. And I'm getting used to how the fire is telling me things. It's starting to tell me, like, oh, no, you're smothering me. Like, could you give me some air, please? It's like, oh, right, sorry, you know, and it's like I'm now talking with a fire, which is a little weird, but, you know, I live in the forest. So I'm working with this fire, and I'm getting used to it, and now I'm like, I'm starting to read it pretty well. I'm like, oh, all right, yeah, no, I know what you need. You need some more kindling. Like, oh, I need to grab some more newspaper. All right, let's do this. And then, you know, a good 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, I can start feeling the heat. I can shut that door, let the fire do its work of really allowing to fill this little house, this little cabin with heat. But it's become almost my new favorite thing of this ritual of connecting with this fire and finding a way of just kind of decompressing and connecting with it. And there is no coincidence that a lot of the imagery that we hear about the Holy Spirit is connected with fire. And I wonder about the Spirit's job description. What is the Spirit's job description? We don't talk very much about the Holy Spirit, let's be clear. We talk a lot in the Presbyterian Church about a lot of things, but we don't necessarily, there you go, we don't necessarily engage with the Holy Spirit very much. We're very cerebral, and that's good because we have skills in that area. And I wonder what we're missing. I wonder, are we really paying attention? Have we tended the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives to really see what's going on around us? So we get into this, and I love what Jesus says here, because about the disciples having sorrow. It's like, oh, but you're leaving. You know, like, there's this, they've created this connection with the Messiah, and they're like, no, you shouldn't go. What are you talking about? They're probably still kind of not sure what exactly is happening, even though Jesus is being as clear as possible. But they're like, wait, you're leaving? And why would you send us someone else? Like, and I'm sure they're wondering that this is like a human being that is going to come to them, because that's what their experience is. It's like, well, you are a human, so this advocate that you speak of must be a human. Maybe. I mean, that would be my guess. The Holy Spirit, I'm sure Pentecost was not exactly what they were expecting. There's a lot of unknown at this point. But I like what Jesus talks about when he's explaining the Spirit's job. The Spirit's job is to help. There's more to teach. It says in John 14, if you go back, there's another section of that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. And he says that the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of what I have said to you. So there's more to learn. I think that sometimes we get stuck in this idea, well, okay, this is it. We're done. We figured it out. We wrote it down. It's in a book, and we're settled. But Jesus is actually saying there's more to learn, and there's more to do. And so you can't do it alone, and we don't want to leave you alone. So we're going to send this Advocate who is going to continue to guide you and teach you as you move throughout this world. And so we hear this job of the Advocate. Who's the Holy Spirit advocating for? Is it for us? Is it for God? From what Jesus is telling us, it's both. He's going to be teaching us, so in a way, that's an advocate, teaching us how to continue to move forward as we're figuring out this job that Jesus left us. Because Jesus' job, straighten out the law. They messed some stuff up, and we need some clarification, right? And so that's what Jesus was working on. Our job is not Jesus' job, right? Our job is to actually, now that it's straightened out, to share this story of good news that it's not what it was. This story of good news that God is not yet done with us and that we must continue forward. And the Holy Spirit's job is to guide us and also to be a microphone for us and of what God and Jesus are talking about. He gets a little riddle-like in his language, if you haven't noticed. He gets into that, the aspect of saying, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. It seems really complicated language to me, but ultimately saying, the Holy Spirit is going to take what I say and give it to you. Done. Like, it's not that I was like, oh, it's not as complicated as I thought. Couldn't you just have said that way? But there's something that's beautiful in that of we're not alone in this work. We're not alone in this work of sharing this news, of sharing, and personally for me, it's sharing it in every aspect of my life, of how I move forward. But how do I identify where the Holy Spirit is? How do I identify what's happening? It's complicated. I can't always see what's happening around me, and especially today, there's so much going on in our world that it's really hard for me to see where the Holy Spirit is working. And let's be honest, as Christians, people are looking at us. They want to know what we're doing. If you notice, that word has been thrown around a lot in the news. And not necessarily by people that I would want representing me. And I'm not sure where all of you land. I'm sure it's a breadth of people in this room. But the nation today feels so divided. It feels so complicated. And in this passage, there is a part where in this chunk of John 13 through 17, this is where Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples because of my, okay, one person said it, love. They will know you are Christians by my, okay, we really need to try that again. Here we go. They will know we are Christians by our, so how are we interacting with people? She giggles because it's true. How are we interacting with people? Not so much love. I have to catch myself on Facebook a lot. Oh, you got caught. Uh-oh. There's something about how we treat each other that I think we have this gut instinct of the Holy Spirit guiding us as we are navigating this turbulent time. There are a lot of people that I disagree with on a lot of things, and probably some of you in this room. Let's just be clear. We're human. We have opinions, and things are not the way that we would assume them to be. And so, what does it mean to seek out love? What would it mean if seeking out love is actually seeking out the Holy Spirit, and that love is actually guiding us as we interact with that one person on Facebook or that one person in the news that just irks you a little bit? What does it mean to be an advocate? If the Holy Spirit's job is to be an advocate, to tell us what God is and Jesus are up to, who are we supposed to be advocates for? How are we advocating in our communities for the people that need the love the most? What does that look like for you? I'm pretty sure it looks different for everyone. I'm pretty sure that each person in this room has an image of a person in their head as I say, who are you advocating for? Or maybe it's a community group, or maybe it's this church, or maybe it's your neighbor. How is the Holy Spirit guiding you with that person? How are you treating them with love and revealing the gospel through that love? I think we need to relearn as a community, as a denomination, how to tend well to the Spirit. How to sit for, well, maybe not 20 minutes, but and stare at this fire and ask, what do you need? Oh, you need some more kindling. Okay. Oh, you need me to go talk to my neighbor. Oh, I'm supposed to go work at the Boys and Girls Club. Oh, I'm supposed to be at the food bank. Like, oh, I'm supposed to mop the floor at church. Oh, let's keep that fire burning. Have we smothered it? Have we put too much knowledge on it? We're just smothering the fire down. Have we made it so cerebral that we've, you know, it's like, oh, it's fine because I donate and I tithe, so I don't have to do anything, so I'll just put that log on the fire, smother it down. Have we made it a passive experience of engaging with people? I don't know. I know in areas of my life I have. I know that there are places in my life where I need to step in and tend to that fire differently and ask the fire, ask the Holy Spirit, how do I need to be showing Christ's love right now? How do I show Christ's love to the very frustrated person on the phone who doesn't know how to work the online registration for Women's Weekend? Some of the ladies are here that went. You know, how do I show that person love in that moment? How do I show the person love that is upset because we don't have a gluten-free option at Westminster Woods? And they are upset. How do I show the Carl who lives in town in Occidental, who wants to show me all of his jewelry that he's made? He lives in his car. He's awesome. He wants to show me all of his jewelry, but I really need to get to work. How do I show him love in that moment? It's all this brass stuff. It's really cool. The jewelry. How am I paying attention to those moments where the fire is saying, feed me a little more? I have an option. I can feed it a little bit more, or I can smother it. And I believe that we are called to allow the Holy Spirit to rage. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in every aspect of our life. Many say that if everything is divine, then nothing's divine. If everything is great, then nothing is great. I believe that the divine is in the ordinary and should be ordinary. The divine is present within us, and so how do we tap into that divine and make it ordinary that divine things are happening around us all the time? Well, we have to pay attention, and we have to feed the fire, and we have to recognize that the world's definition of sin is not what Christ was talking about. We have to recognize the world's definition of judgment and righteousness are not what Christ was talking about. He is talking about love. It's a new definition. It's a new definition of how we function in the world, and we have to dive into it. And it's scary because it's unknown. But that's okay. Because we are not alone. Not only do we have each other, but we have the advocate with us. And I hope that as you navigate whichever awkward scenario that you are navigating right now, whether it's politically, emotionally, family stuff, friend stuff, work things, ask the question, where do I need to put some kindling? Where can I add some newspaper to help make this fire burn? Let's pray. Creator God, we come before you thankful for your presence, thankful for your guidance, thankful that we have the advocate with us. Help us, Lord, to find and see where your love is missing and where we can add some kindling and help this fire of the Holy Spirit burn throughout our town and throughout our nation. Help us to lean into your love and do our job well of sharing that love with the world. Thank you, God. In your Son's name, amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.